We are up to mitzvah 14 in the list of the Ramban's mitzvahs, which in his opinion the Rama forgot. Hashmatas, halav, the Rama forgot. So he says, laf, what din runs as follows. The din is that one is not permitted to marry his sister-in-law. There are two kinds of sisters-in-law, they're both prohibited. One is, I'm not allowed to marry my wife's sister as long as my wife is alive. When the wife dies, so achas ishta is muta lacham isas ishta. That was a common practice in Europe for many years. When a woman would die, so the husband would usually marry her sister, who would take care of the children, because the aunt usually took care of the children anyway. The single aunt would probably take care of the children anyway, very common. So that's one kind of sister-in-law. Then there's another sister-in-law, my brother's wife. I'm not permitted to marry my brother's wife even after he divorces her. And even after my brother dies, I'm not permitted to marry that sister-in-law. Unless it's a situation of yibum. If my brother was married and dies, leaving no children, no grandchildren, no descendants, whether from this wife or from another wife, if my brother dies leaving ubein ein-law, no children at all, zera ein-law, so then there's a mitzvah that I should do yibum.
If there's a case of murder, like a brother murdering his brother, would the yibum still have to happen?
I would assume we put the guy in prison. We don't have him do yibum. So whenever they don't want to marry each other for some good reason or another, either because he murdered my husband. So
would they even have to do chalitza? Or
so then you have to do chalitza, unless we decided to kill the brother. Kill the brother, she doesn't need any chalitza. Okay, kill the murderer. Okay, but as long as the surviving brother is alive, so the almana is not allowed to marry. So when l'chatchila we would prefer to have yibum, and if they don't agree to yibum, we would have them do chalitza. The Zman is that we don't allow yibum. The Gemara has a debate, a dispute among the Tanaim. Who is it? Abba Shol and the Chachamim. Abba Shol says we only permit yibum if the surviving brother marries the almana, the shei mitzvah, the shmo. But if he really wouldn't want to marry her, but she's very wealthy, she's from a very wealthy family, or from a very prestigious family, and he's going to come into a big yichas, and she's very good looking. That's why what motivates him to marry her is not so much the mitzvah of yibum, but rather l'shem mamad, or l'shem noi, or l'shem ishus, prominent family. So then Abba Shol says you're not allowed to do yibum. We're talking about the din of yibum, that if the two brothers, one brother is married, and he dies, leaving no descendants, no children, no grandchildren, from this wife, from another wife, so the Torah says that the surviving brother should either do Yibum or Chalitza. Yibum means he should marry the Almana. And if that's out of the question, let's say the surviving brother is only 15, the Almana is 35. So that's not reasonable. A 15-year-old boy should marry a 35-year-old woman. Or the reverse, the Almana is 15 years old and the surviving brother is 35 years old. So such an age gap, so that's ridiculous. So we don't recommend Yibum. So then we say we should do Chalitza. Then we say we should have them do chalitza. So bizman hazeh, we don't permit yibum, and the Ashkenazim don't permit yibum. This is a machlokes historically. The Gemara says the consensus among the Tanaim changed from generation to generation. In one generation, the majority of the Chachamim felt you're permitted to do yibum even if you're doing it shaloi l'shma. Even if the motivation to marry the girl is not because of the mitzvah, but rather because she's from a very wealthy family, a very prestigious family, or she's very good looking, otherwise he wouldn't be interested in doing the mitzvah of marrying her. So that's the machlokes ha'Tanaim. Are you allowed to do yibum in such a case? So in different generations, the consensus changed. Like in our generation, the psak changed from before the Second World War to after the Second World War, and many different issues. In every generation, you have to paskan according to the majority of the opinions of the Rabbanim in that generation. So then there's a machlekes, the Sfardim and Ashkenazim. What was the final psak in the days of the Tanaim?
Does Yibum have to wait a few months to see if the woman's pregnant?
Yes, you have to wait 3 months to make sure that she's not pregnant. If she's pregnant, she doesn't require any Yibum. And then I'm living with my sister-in-law, the Yisr, Tanisa Koris. Now that I marry the brother's wife, even after the brother dies, unless it's a case of Yibum, unless he left no children at all. But if she's pregnant with a child, then you're not permitted to perform the Yibum. So today we don't, by the Ashkenazi, we don't permit Yibam anymore. In 1948, when they established Medina Yisrael, so they wanted to have one unified Rabbanut, instead of having the Svardish Rabbanim, will pass on like the Svardim that they do permit Yibam. The Ashkenazi Rabbanim will follow the Ashkenazi Psak of Tosa that we don't permit Yibam. So there will be a whole split in the Medina. So they got all the Svardi Rabbanim to sign an agreement, the Heskem, that they're not going to permit Yibam either. So now nobody does any Yibam. The Svardim, Ashkenazim, nobody does Yibam. We only do Chalitza. So now the Torah has a din. What happens if the surviving brother does Chalitza and later on he changes his mind, he decides he wants to marry her? First they do Chalitza, let's say they don't really know each other. Then after he does Chalitza, now she's permitted to marry anybody she wants. So she goes out on dates. The Almana starts dating people. And then she starts dating the brother-in-law who just did the Chalitza. And she likes him more than everybody else. She wants to marry him. So the Zman is that we don't permit Yibam. Okay, so we wouldn't allow it. What about in the earlier generations, in the days of the Tanaim, when they still practice Yibam? After the brother-in-law, the surviving brother, does the chalitza, is he allowed to change his mind and do Yibum? So the Mishnah comments, Mishnah says, Beferish, you're not allowed to. And the Gemara learns in Ephraim a pasuk, that at the conclusion of the Yibum ceremony, the chalitza ceremony, the chalitza consists of three parts. She takes off the shoe from the right foot of the Yavam, and she throws it away. Throws it away, like tosses it away, and then she spits on the floor in front of him to be mevazeh him why he didn't agree to do Yibum. Even Mizman Hazeh, that we don't permit him to do Yibum, we still mevazeh him, we take off the shoe to be mevazeh him, to demonstrate that he deserves to be in Cherem, and one is in Nidu in Cherem, not a lot of wear shoes. And we spit in front of him on the floor, and we say the Kriyas HaPsukim. First you say, first the Yavama says, in the presence of the Bezin, Mein Yavami, the Hakim Shem Liachiv Li Yisrael. My brother-in-law refuses to do Yibum. And he says, Lechafatzi Lekachta, I don't want to marry her. And then after you finish the whole Chalitza ceremony, then the people who are watching say, Kocha Yos Elish, Asher Li Yivnes Beisachim. This is the way we have to be Mevazeh. We have to humiliate the man who refuses to do Yibum. Even though today we don't permit it to do Yibum, still, that's what we do.
Don't use this one for that.
What about this one? Yeah. This one you can use. Yeah. I hope so. Thank you. So the expression that we use is Kacha Yasalish. This is what we do to the man who performed the Chalitza. Asher lo yivnes beisachim, who refuses to rebuild the family of his deceased brother. So what do you mean, Asher lo yivne? Maybe he will marry her in the future. You ought to say, Kocha Yosalish, we mevaza him by taking off his shoe and spitting on the floor and calling him Chalutz Anal, Chalutz Anal, Chalutz Anal. Three times we scream at him, he's Chalutz Anal, we did Chalitza. We should really say, Kocha Yosalish, Asher lo bono is based on him, who refused to do the evil. How do you say in the future tense, Asher lo yivne es beis achiv? So the Gemara understands from that yivne, from the future tense, akivin shel avana shuv le yivne. Since he performed chalitza, he's never ever again permitted to do yibum. Once you do chalitza, you're not allowed to do yibum. It's a loy sese. Asher lo yivne es beis achiv. It's allowed. He's not allowed to. And the Mishnah quotes Rabbi Akiva, who says, what happens if the surviving brother does chalitza, and then later on he marries the Yavama, which he wasn't permitted to do, and they have children. So Rabbi Akiva says the children will be mamzerim. How so? Because Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that how do you define what is a mamzer? So we pass in halach lamaisa, mamzer is only a child who was born from a union. A man and a woman had a child together. The man and the woman couldn't have had tefisas kiddushin. Let's say it's a brother and a sister, or a father and a daughter, or it's a sister-in-law, or it's an eshes ish. So the way the situation is now, ain't kedushin tovsin, because the woman is a chavi krisis. It's an isa gili arayis, ain't kedushin tovsin. So therefore, the vlad is called a mamza. Rabbi Akiva disagrees, and he's much more machmer. Rabbi Akiva says, not only is the vlad, not only are the children mamzerim, if it's an isa koris, like boal achosa, boal lima, boal bito, boal kaloso, boal chamoso, boal eshes ish, even a vlad from Chavi Lavin is also a mamzer according to Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva, the Shitasa says that if the surviving brother did chalitza first, there's a lav, he's not allowed to do yibam, he's not allowed to marry her. And if he does marry her, he's over on the lav, and the children will be mamzer. So you see from the Gemara that according to Rabbi Akiva, you're dealing with an isa deraisa. Otherwise, why, how is he so convinced that the vlad is a mamzer if it's only a chumer mederabbanan? So the Ramban writes, true, we don't pass like Rabbi Akiva, who says that the vlad from Chayvei Lavin is a mamzer. We pass like the Mishnah quotes Shimon, there's a Tana, Shimon HaTeimani. Either Shimon HaTeimani from the country Teimani, or Shimon HaTimni from the city Timnas. It's unclear how to pronounce his name. In the yeshivas, usually they pronounce it Shimon HaTeimani, and it may be a mispronunciation. So the Mishnah in Yivamas Daf Mem Tes quote Shimon HaTeimani says that the vlad is only mamzer from Chavi Krisis, not from Chavi Lavin. The Gemara says they all Tanam is screaming at Rabbi Akiva, Bo Netzaveach al Akiva ben Yosef, we're going to scream at him. He's too machmeh. He declares that children from a man and a woman get married, they have children, and it's an Issa Lav. So he declares that the children of Mamzer, his opinion was never accepted. So the Ramban says, true. Ramban here writes over here in Yud Dalet. True, we don't accept Rabbi Akiva's opinion that the vlad is a Mamzer. But the first step of Rabbi Akiva, everybody agrees to. That says in all the Mishnayos, once you do chalitza, you're not allowed to do yibum. So the Rambam should have counted that as a lav in the minyan mitzvah. It's not included in any other lav that kibun shel ebana shuv lo yivna. The pasuk reads kochi yosel ish asher lo yivna es beis achiv. So we darshan kibun shel ebana shuv lo yivna. So the pashut, the answer could be the Megillah says to give us a different answer. The simple answer of the Rambam is that this is only a drosha of the Torah shebal peh. And the Rambam writes in the Sharashim, when he gives you the 14 guiding principles to determine which mitzvahs belong in the minyan mitzvah, which not. So the Rambam says you only include mitzvahs that are lefi pshuto shel mikra, Torah shebichzav. This is really not Torah shebichzav. The pasuk just says, after we finish doing the chalitza, we want to be mevaza the yavam, kochi yosalish, this is what we do, asher leyivnes pesach, because he didn't agree to do yibum. So asher leyivne, who refused to perform yibum. It doesn't say lo yivne, he's not allowed to marry her. That's already an additional level of interpretation. That's not pshuto shel mikra. That's a drasha of the Torah shebichzav. So the simple answer is that the Rambam's not going to count this in the minyan mitzvahs because lefi pshuto shel mikra there is no lav. It's only a drasha based on the additional level of interpretation of the Torah shebichzav. It happens that there's another answer that the Rambam himself gives. The Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnayos on that in Yevamos on that Mishnah which the Ramban quotes. The Ramban quotes the Mishnah where it says, according to Rabbi Akiva's opinion, if the surviving brother who did chalitza later marries the Yevamah and they have children, the children are mamzerim, so it's clear that you're dealing with an issue there, I said. So the Rambam writes a long piece in the Pirush HaMishnayos, and the Rashbok points it out. Usually the Rishonim ignore the Pirush HaMishnayos. Pirush HaMishnayos is written in Arabic. It was translated into Hebrew, so usually, very often the Rishonim don't even quote it. The Rashbo quotes it and he makes a big tzimtzum out of it. He says, look in the Rambam. He writes a fantastic chiddush here. That this lav, kivin shel abana, shel yivne, is only according to Rabbi Akiva. According to the Rabbanan, it's only an issa derabbanan. Once the brother performed chalitza, he's not allowed to do yibum. The Rambam says, according to Rabbi Akiva, you're dealing with an issa deraisa. According to the Rabbanan, it's only an issa derabbanan. How does it depend on Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanan? What does one got to do with the other? So the Rambam says simple in the Pirush HaMishnayos. It's right, simple. Rabbi Akiva holds that Chayvei Lavin also makes mamzer, and he holds Ein Kiddushin Tovsin b'Chayvei Lavin. Rabbi Akiva holds that Chayvei Lavin is the same Chomer Hadin as Chayvei Krisis. There's no Koris. If you do violate an aver b'shoigig, if you chayv Koris, then b'shoigig you chayv Chatas. Violate a lav b'shoigig, you're not chayv Chatas. So Chayvei Lavin don't have Koris. Chayvei Krisis do have Koris. But Rabbi Akiva holds that Chayvei Lavin are also Chomer, they're also called Gili Arayas. So therefore, according to Rabbi Akiva, it's possible to declare that there's an Issa Lav for the Yavam to marry the Yavam after having performed Chalitza. But according to the Rabbanon who hold that Chayvei Lavin belongs to a different category, Chayvei Lavin is an Issa Diyu, Chayvei Krisis is an Issa Arayas. It's a different thing. So this whole Issa is only the Rabbanon. The whole Issa that the Yavam who performed chalitza is not allowed to turn around now to do Yibam. Chalitza is only the Rabbanan. So it's still very unclear. Why does it depend on Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanan? What's the pshat? So I remember Rav Soloveitchik explained that he thinks the Rambam is driving at the following. The Isser, not the story starts off, there's an Isser to marry my sister-in-law, Eshe Sochiv. I'm not allowed to marry Eshe Sochiv. Even after my brother divorces his wife, and even after my brother dies, I'm not allowed to marry Eshe Sochiv. Unless B'makam Yibum, unless we know that he has no children, and she's not pregnant now, then I'm allowed to marry her. So then the Torah says, but if I performed Chalitza, then I'm no longer allowed to marry her. So what's the Isser? So the Isser is Eshe Sach. The Isser Eshe Sach is still here. But the original Isser Eshe Sach has Koris. And now this Isser, Kibin Shel Abana Shuv LeYivna, once the surviving brother does Chalitza, he's not allowed to do Yibum, this doesn't have any Koris, this is just a lav. That's why the Gemara says, the children will be Mamzer according to Rabbi Akiva. Because Rabbi Akiva says, the Vlad from a Chavi Lavin is a Mamzer. According to the Chachamim, the Vlad of Chavi Lavin is not a Mamzer, so the children won't be Mamzer. So the Rambam says like this, according to Rabbi Akiva, this is conceivable to say such a thing. He started off with an Isser Eishesach. I'm not allowed to marry my sister-in-law, my brother's wife. It started off with an Isser Kares. And now because the brother died and I was allowed to do Yibum, but I chose not to do Yibum, I did Chalitza. So now the Isser Eishesach that had Kares falls down to the level of an Isser Eishesach without Kares, but you're still in the same realm. According to Rabbi Akiva, Chai B'Laban are also Gili Arayis. It starts off with a higher level Gili Arayis, with an Issa Koris, and Shesach with an Issa Koris, and after performing Chalitza, then it falls down, it's lower down to the level of an Issa Shesach without Koris. So such a thing is conceivable. So according to Rabbi Akiva, there's such a din, Kivin Shel Rabbanu Shuv LeYivna. But according to the Rabbanu de Rabbi Akiva, they hold that a Chavi Krisis is Gili Arayis. And it's Yehorek Valyam. A Chavi Laban is not Gili Arayis, it's an Issa Bia. It's a different thing. The Vlad is not Mamzer. So you can say, you started off with an Isser Eishesach that had Koris, and because you were allowed to do Yibum, even though you chose to do Chalitza, so the Isser Eishesach with Koris lowers down, it's lower down to the level of an Isser Eishesach without Koris. It can't be lower down to the level. It can't be. The two different categories of Isurim. According to the way we paskin against Rabbi Akiva, Chavi Krisis is Gili Arayis, and Chavi Laban is an Isser Bia. It's a different category of an Issa. That's why the Rambam says the whole Issa is only the Rabbanan. That's why the Rambam doesn't count it in the Minyan HaMitzvahs, because he holds it's only made the Rabbanan. The Ramban learns the normal pshat, that the Kivin Shel Rabbanan Shuv LeYivna, once the surviving brother does Chalitza, he's not allowed to marry her. That's an Issa Deraisa, L'choladeh. So all the Tanoim agree to that. So he asks on the Rambam. The Rambam made a mistake. He forgot to count that mitzvah. But if you look at the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnayis on Yevamos, around Daf Nun or so, so the Rambam writes Beferish, we don't paskal like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva holds that it's an Issa Derais. According to Rabbi Akiva, it should be included, maybe it should be included in the Minyan HaMitzvah. Maybe not because it's only at Rosh of the Torah Shabbal Peh, that's why I suggested earlier. But according to Rabbi Akiva, there's what to discuss, should it be included? According to the Chachamim, it's only an Issa Derabbanan, the Rambam says. Cannot be that you start off with an Issa Kareis, and because of circumstances, the Isser lowered down to the level of an Issa Lav. Issa Lav is, the whole nature of the Isser is different. It's a totally different Isser. So that's a fascinating, Mitzvah Yudalat is very fascinating. Mitzvah Tezvav is very interesting. Ramban quotes a chunk of the Gemara in Yevamos, Daf Yud Aleph from the base. First parak of Yevamos, Me'abedin of Machzik Girushosa. Machzik Girushosa means, if I divorced my wife, and she married someone else, and then the second husband divorces her and dies. So now she's free to marry anybody she wants. She can marry anybody else except for the first husband. What if I divorced my wife and she didn't marry anybody else in between? So I may remarry her. I have a classmate who's remarried to his same wife for the third time. I know a businessman who is a little eccentric also. He was married to the same wife, wife number one, wife number two with two different people, and the wife number three, four, five were the same wife. He divorced, remarried, then he died. Okay. He's buried over here in Yerushalayim, next to Rav Kook. He's that character. He gave a lot of money to America's Rav Kook, so they let him be buried next to Rav. So there's no prohibition to marry your wife If I divorce my wife, I'm permitted to remarry her, unless I'm a Kohen. If I'm a Kohen, I'm not allowed to marry any Grusha, whether my Grusha or someone else's Grusha. But the prohibition of Matzah Grusha, I'm not allowed to remarry my wife after divorcing her, means if I divorced her, and she married someone else, and then he died or he divorced her, then the Pasuk says, Lo yuchal ba'la rishon asher shilcha loshuv lekachta. The first husband is not permitted to remarry her. The simple reason why is because we don't want people to swap their wives. Let's say you have a community, you have 10 good friends, and they're all married. And each one, they all get together, they have parties together, and everybody's friendly with everybody else's wife. And they'd like to see what life would be like living with the other one's wife. So that's an Issa Kares, it's an Issa Misa. Eishes Sish is an Issa Misa. So one week we'll all divorce our wives, and we'll trade wives, and everyone will have a good time with everyone else's wife. Then everybody will give a get, and then we'll try out another turn, and marry everybody else's wife. And then afterwards we'll give a get, and we'll all remarry our original wives if we still like them. And if not, we'll stay with the wife that we're happy with. So Torah says you're not allowed to remarry your wife. Once your wife married someone else and she got divorced, you're not allowed to remarry that wife because you don't want wife swapping. Fine, we understand it then. So the Pasuk doesn't read straight. The Pasuk says, if a man divorced his wife, she went and she married someone else, and the second husband either divorced her or died. So the Pasuk reads, Lo yuchal ba'la harishon asher shilcha. The first husband who had divorced her is not permitted loshuv lekachta to remarry her, acharei asher hu tama'a, because she was nitma'a, because she did something terrible. What did she do terrible? First husband divorced her, she married a second husband. What's wrong with that? They weren't swapping wives. She married someone she never knew before. Why? How do you use the expression acharei asher hu tama'a? So the Gemara is bothered that the Tanoim are bothered with that expression as it appears in the Chumash. So the Ramban quotes, there's one Tana who hardly ever is quoted in the Gemara, rarely ever quoted. His name is Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur, Chof Yud Pei Resh. Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur is bothered with the expression. So he says, what it means is the following: I'm not allowed to remarry my wife if she had Nisuin with her second wife. Everything is that everything in Nisuin, the two parts to the marriage ceremony. Everything is, you give a ring and you say, Harei Mekudeshesli, and that's all. And the girl is not living with her husband, she's still living with her parents. And the Nisuin is, after you give a ring, everything is Kiddushin, same thing, Erev Kiddushin, same thing. You're married, but she's an Eishes Ish, Shelo Bebeis Habaal, she's not living with her husband. And then the Nisuin is, after you give the ring and you have everything, then you stand under the canopy and you say seven brachas, the Sheva brachas under the chuppah, and then you take the girl home. And then she's called an Eishes Ish, Beveis Habal. The Chumash, in a few places, refers to a married woman as being Beiso, Beiso Zuishto. The Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur has to say Vidui on his own behalf, Chipa Bado Ubiyat Beiso, on behalf of his wife. So the Gemara says Beiso Zuishto only applies after Nisuin. If you only had Erisin, she's an Eishes Ish, Shelo Beveis Habal. So you can't use the expression Beiso Zuishto. But after you already had not only Erisin, you had Nisuin, then she's called an Eishes Ish, Beveis Habal, then you apply that expression, Beiso Zuishta. A few times in Chumash, the expression Beiso appears, and it means Beiso Zuishta, his Nisuin. So the Tana Rabbi Yosef ben Kippur understands that this prohibition, I'm not allowed to remarry my wife if she married someone else in between, is only if she married the second husband and had Nisuin with him. But if she only had Erisin and they weren't really living together at all, they weren't even officially living together, so then the first husband is permitted to remarry her. So he understands, that's how he translates the words. The first husband is not allowed to remarry the wife only if she was living with the second husband, if she had Nisuin. So Machzigurashasim and Hanisuin is a lav. Machzigurashasim and Erisin is mutter. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yosi ben Kippur. His opinion is not accepted. We hardly ever heard of him. This time he hardly ever appears ever in the Gemara. So the Gemara says we don't accept his opinion. So how do we deal with that phrase acharei asher hu tamo? What does it mean? So the Gemara says no. You have to read the pasuk as if there were a semicolon there. Lo yichel by lo harishin asher shilchado lo shiv lekachto. The husband, the first husband, is not allowed to remarry his wife after she got married to the second husband, even if she only had kiddushin with the second husband. Machzik Rishos Min Erisin is an Issa Deraisa. Semicolon. And also, acharei ashehu tamua, if I'm living with a woman and she's mizana in the middle of the marriage, that's called a sota. So this is what we call a sota vadai and a sota sofik. Sota vadai is we know that she had an affair with someone else. Bevados, we caught her in the act. So a sota vadai, that's this pasuk acharei ashehu tamua. A man is not allowed to continue living with his wife after she's mizana acharei ashehu tamua. Because the verb hutamor has the connotation of znus. Because in Parshas Naso, when the Torah describes the mitzvah of sota, it says v'nitma'os, three times. V'nitma'os means the woman was mezana during the marriage. So if the woman is a saita sofik means the husband is suspicious of his wife. He thinks that she may be having an affair with someone else, but he doesn't know for sure. So he warns his wife, I think you're not being faithful to me. I don't want you to be misyachet with so-and-so. So if he wants her, that's called kinui. The kinui es ishto. Kinui means hasro. He wants his wife altistri mishploni. I don't want you to stay with that man alone. I think there's something wrong going on. Even if the man is her father, and there's no isa yichud, but the husband is paranoid and thinks his wife is having an affair with her father. So that's kinui. And then if she has stira with that person, if she stays in a private room with that person, with the father, whoever it is, so then if you have kino estir, then she has to drink the maim hamorim. Then the parsha sota applies. So if the husband continues to live with his wife after kino estira, and the wife is only a sota sofeg, then the Gemara says there's an isa esse, there's no lav, there's only an isa esse of vinitma. Vinitma means she's not allowed to live with her husband. But once you ascertain for sure that she's a sota vadai, you know for sure that she was mezana with someone else during the marriage, then the din requires that he has to give her a get. And if he lives with the wife, then he's over on a lav. Lo yuchol acharei ashehu tamua. So this pasuk has two lavim. Lo yuchol baila harishon shishuchta loshem lakachta is machzik rushasai. And lo yuchol baila acharei ashehu tamua is the isa sota vadai. So the Ramban says the Rambam should have counted it as two lavim. So he says, but I know why the Rambam didn't count it as two lavim, because it's one pasuk. Let's say the mitzvah of kibud av v'aim, kabed es avich ve'es imecha, how many mitzvahs are there? So the Rambam says it's one mitzvah, kibud parents. It's one mitzvah, pasuk, kabed es avich ve'es imecha. Or let's say the mitzvah to bring tamid shel shachar, tamid shel ben arba'im. So the Rambam says it's one mitzvah. It's all in one pasuk. It's one mitzvah to bring Tamin Shal Shachar, Tamin Shal Ben Abayim every day, twice a day. The Ramban disagrees. He says, Kibud Av V'Aim should count as two mitzvahs. And Kriya Shema Shachar Sanavi should count as two mitzvahs. Even though it says, V'dibarta Abam Shach B'chav Kumecho, it's one pasuk, but Zmano Shal Zeh Lok, Zmano Shal Zeh, are two different mitzvahs. So the Ramban thinks that Kibud Av V'Aim should be counted as two mitzvahs. Tamash Shachar, Tamash Ben Abayim should be counted as two mitzvahs. So the Ramban, the Shittosai, thinks that this should be counted as two mitzvahs. Even though it's one verb, Lo Yuchod Ba'al Rishon Shishulcha Loshev Lekachta Machzik Rishosai, semicolon, or Acharei Ashehu Tamua, or if the woman is a Soita Vadai, that the husband is not allowed to live with her, is in violation of a lav. Soita Sofik is only an Isser Esay, and Soita Vadai is an Isser Lav. So the Ramban says, my taina is l'shitasi. I hold the kibud av v'aim is counted as two mitzvahs. Kriya Shema Shachar Sanav is counted as two mitzvahs. So I think this should be counted as two mitzvahs also. I understand what the Rambam will say. The Rambam holds that since it's all in one pasuk, there's only one verb. It's only one verb on two cases, so it's considered one mitzvah. So the Ramban himself gives the answer on the Rambam. Ban himself gives the answer. The Rambam holds it is an Issa deraisa, but in the Minyan HaMitzvahs he counted as one because it's all included in one pasuk. The Gemara there in Yevamos on Daf Yud Aleph, the Gemara says that this is these two are connected with each other. Machzik Rishos and the Sota are connected. There's something unique about these two isurim. Let's say a man marries a mamzeres, or a kohen marries a grusha whom he wasn't permitted to marry. So do you say the marriage is complete or incomplete? The marriage is 100% complete, and he has to give her a get, he has to get divorced. The marriage is complete. Let's say the din is the husband can be meifa nidrei yishto. The wife takes a neder, So the husband has a right to the mefer nedvi ishta. So let's say a kohen is married to a grusha, which is against the din. He's not allowed to. A yisrael marries a mamzeres, which is against the halacha. He's not allowed to. Nonetheless, the din is that if the wife takes a neder, the husband can be made for the neder. Here, if the husband is married to a woman and she's mizana, she becomes a saita. So the Gemara says the marriage is incomplete. The word v'nitma'o, that's in Parshas Sot and Parshas Noso, has the connotation of implying that the marriage is weakened, the marriage is broken. And the husband is not fully married with the wife. The chiddush is that he still needs a get, but he cannot be mefer nedarim. The husband can only mefer nidre yishto if there's 100% marriage. Since the marriage is incomplete, not. See, this word v'nitma, it says by the Seita Sofik, v'nitma, 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 three times. When a woman is mezana tachas bal v'nitma, it's a very unclear expression. You've heard of the Sefer HaKuzari by Rabbi Yehuda Halevi. So Rabbi Yehuda Halevi has this historical novel. He writes about the king who was carrying out a conversation with the rabbi, with the chaver, all about the Jewish religion, and he's so impressed with the Jewish religion, he converts and he gets the cabinet to convert, that he got all the people to convert, and apparently that's a chunk of Russian history. There was a whole region in Russia that was ruled by the Khazars, by the Khuzari. The Russian government under the communists were embarrassed that anyone should know that the Jews used to be the king of Russia, so they hid all of this information. And now that communism collapsed a little bit, in Russia, so now they opened up all the books, and now they allow people to do research, and they discovered a whole capital of the kingdom of the Khuzarim with documents there and everything. It's true, the whole story is true, that the king and all the people were Jewish. The government of Russia was run by Jews for quite a while. So in the book of the Khuzari, so the king asks the rabbi, I understand that you people are observing everything that it says in the Bible. Well, I read in the Bible that when a person is tameh, he has to go to mikveh. So how come many of you become tameh? You don't go to the mikveh all the time. How come you don't observe what it says in the Bible? So he explains the laws of tumah v'tareh are only relevant if you want to eat truma, or you want to eat ma'aseh sheni, b'kedusha, or you want to eat korbanos, or you want to enter the Beis HaMikdash, you want to be makriv korbanos, a kohen wants to be makriv korbanos. He says, we live so far away from the Eretz Yisrael. There is no Beis HaMikdash. There are no korbanos to eat. We can't enter the Beis HaMikdash. There is no Beis HaMikdash. We can't eat truma. We're so far away. So all of these laws of tumah v'tahara are not relevant. They're only relevant. Tumah is a contradiction with kedusha. If you want to eat truma b'kedusha, you want to eat ma'aseh sheni b'kedusha. Ma'aseh sheni is kodesh. You want to enter the Beis HaMikdash, which has kedusha. So if you're in a state of tumah, so tumah contradicts kedusha. We're so far away from all the yoni kedusha, so the whole issue of tumah is irrelevant. So then the king asks, but I understand they're married people. The wives do go to mikveh. So what do you tell me that the laws of tumah v'tahara are irrelevant because there's no kedusha? So he said, that's a different deal. When the married woman has to go to mikveh when she's a nida, that's unrelated to tumah v'tahara. So this is very interesting. What Rabbi Yehuda Halevi writes in the Khuzari, that the concept of tumah is that tumah is a stira with kedusha. So the Avnei Nezer was a chassidish rebbe, died around 100 years ago, soch tshuva rebbe. So the Avnei Nezer has a tshuva in Chelek Avnei Nezer, where he's explaining the phrase in the Chumash, v'nitma'o. When a wife is mezana tachas baila, so the Chumash refers to that as v'nitma'o. Eishu says shezintza is called tumah. Why? He says because when the woman is mezana, the marriage is partially broken. It's a chiddush that she needs a get. We might have thought the whole marriage unravels automatically, you don't even need a get. So the Torah is mechadish, no, you need a get, but the marriage is incomplete. So that idea that the marriage is incomplete, that's because the Chumash says v'nitma'o. V'nitma means it's a contradiction to kedusha. Marriage is called kedusha. Marriage is a concept of kedusha. And if the wife is mezana, it's called v'nitma because that's a contradiction to kedusha. And it breaks the marriage partially. So that's why the halacha says that the kohen is married to a grusha, the Yisrael is married to a mamzeres, the marriage is complete, but he's not allowed to live with her. So he has to give her a get and encourage her to go marry someone else. But if a man is married to his wife and she's mezana, she has an affair with someone else, That's called v'nitma'o because it causes a weakening of the marriage. He's not fully married to her anymore. It's only a partial issues. Partial issues, that's why the Gemara says the husband is not allowed to be meif in the door. So the Gemara says because these two dinim are derived from the same pasuk, machzik rishosoi and soita labaila, both learned that from the same pasuk. So the Gemara says you get the impression that they're both of the same nature. The machzik rishosoi, if I divorced my wife, she married someone else, then he dies or he divorces her, then I remarry her. So the pasuk compares that to a soita in that both cases the marriage is incomplete, the ishus is incomplete. As opposed to all the other chayv lavin, the ishus is complete, but he's not allowed to live with her. He has to give her a get. But in these two cases, because the chumash uses the term v'nitmo, we say the marriage is incomplete. Mitzvah tezayin is very fascinating. He says the Rambam followed the halachas gedolos. All right, so the Rambam disagreed here and there with some of the things that the halachas gedolos wrote. He takes issue. The Rambam makes a whole fuss of it. He tells him when he's disagreeing. But he says, here the halachas gedolos counted a lot. And he says, he doesn't see any reason why the Rambam shouldn't count it. He says, we have a din that after 6 years, we have to set free an Eved Ivri. 6 years means from the day that I bought the Eved Ivri. I bought the Eved Ivri, I'm a Chodesh Nissen, so I keep him for 6 years. And when the 6 years are up, I have to set him free. Or if Yovel comes, Yom Kippur Shal Yovel comes before the 6 years are up. Or if I had an Eved and he wanted to stay on after 6 years, so I make Ritzi, I make a hole in the hard part of the year, in the cartilage part, not in the soft part, the hard part. And then when Yovel comes, and then he goes free, when Yom Kippur Shal Yovel. So the Torah says, La'yera levavcha, you shouldn't feel bad, v'shalecha chachav shime'imach. You shouldn't feel bad when you have to set free the Eved. That you're not getting any reimbursement. The Eved doesn't have to pay you. The government doesn't have to pay. Nobody pays. You have to just set the Eved free. So the Torah says you shouldn't feel bad about it. So he says this halachas gedolos counts it as a loy seser. You shouldn't feel bad about it. These are the laws of the Torah. So he says he doesn't really understand why the Rambam didn't. The halachas gedolos did include it. He doesn't see why the Rambam didn't count it. Then he has mitzvah yud zayin is also such a similar din. The Torah says, he says, the halachas gedolos counted another. Mitzvah Slay says he doesn't see why the Rambam didn't count it. The Torah says, when poor people come and you give them charity, so there's a mitzvah to give charity, then the Torah says, nosin titin lo, v'leir levavcha besitcha lo, you shouldn't feel bad. A lot of times they'll give a check to the one you give them charity, and then you'll be angry. Why did I give him the tzedakah? He's a bum. He should go get a job. He shouldn't have had such a big family. What an idiot. What do you mean he has to marry off his children? He has to buy everybody an apartment. I didn't buy an apartment for my children. I don't own the apartment that I live in. Why does he inherit himself? If you don't buy the apartment, you can't live anywhere. It's impossible over here. So a lot of times people give charity to the poor. And then as you're giving the tzedakah, you're angry. You don't say anything to the poor man, but you're angry about the whole system. I don't like the whole system. I would really not want to give the guy a penny. So the Torah says, you're not allowed to feel bad about the fact that you're giving him that stuff. So the Ramban says he doesn't understand why the Rambam didn't include this. He says, the Baal HaLoch is Gedolos, counts it, and the Minyan Alavim. So why did the Rambam disagrees every so often with the HaLoch is Gedolos. He explains why, but here he doesn't even discuss, he doesn't even raise the issue. So these were the 17 mitzvahs loisa essay that the Ramban adds on. And now he starts writing a whole essay to sum up everything. He says, these are the 17 mitzvahs that I feel I have to add on to the Rambam. And he says, I'm not so sure about this whole system of the Sefer mitzvahs. To tell you the truth, everything is so vague here. He hopes Mashiach will come and explain to us what's going on. He says, this is very unclear. He writes, Hashem should give me an arichas yamim, im yarech Hashem yameinu, and I should live in good health in my old age, v'yanim shnei zikuneinu, my old age should be pleasant, and he had a runaway from Spain. You know, the Ramban had a debate with Pablo Cristiani, who was a Jewish mishuman, a Jew converted to Christianity. They used to have public debates. They had a public debate about the validity of the Christian religion or the validity of the Jewish religion. So the Ramban won the debate. So then he won the debate that was held in the presence of the king. But then he had to run away from Spain because the church wanted to kill him. So he ran away to Eretz Yisrael. He's lucky that they didn't kill him. So he ran away to Eretz Yisrael. So he says, if God should give me an arichas yamim and I should have a pleasant old age, the arviach akas zmanenu, and the tzoras of our generation should ease up. He says he hopes to continue writing on the topic of minyan amitzus because he thinks everything is very unclear. He says the whole thing is very unclear. What are you supposed to count? What are you not supposed to count? When does it count as one mitzvah? When does it count two mitzvahs? He says he thinks nobody did a good job on this. He says we've got to wait till Mashiach comes. Eliyahu asid lefarish parsha zu. That's an expression the Gemara has. The Gemara talks about there's a parsha in Nov Yecheskel. The end of Sefer Yecheskel, he talks about the Bais HaShlishi, which will be built. He talks about the dimensions of the Bais HaShlishi. And then he says, starting from Rosh Chodesh Nissan, he doesn't say which year. Starting from Rosh Chodesh Nissan, we'll bring the following karbonis. And the karbonis that the Navi describes do not correspond living or dead to the karbonis that are described in the Chumash. The daily karbonis and Rosh Chodesh karbonis and Yontav and Chalamoid, Shabbos, nothing corresponds. So the Gemara says that's Bikshu Ligna Sefer Yecheskel. There was a big debate in the days of the Tanoim. Should they incorporate Yecheskel into the Kisvei HaKodesh? There are 24 Kisvei HaKodesh. Chamishu Chamshitar is five books of Moses. Chamishu Chamshitar. Then you have another 19. 19 and 5 is 24. So that's the question, are there really 24? So till the middle of the period of the Amoraim, there was a machlekes where the Megillas Esther should be part of Kisvei HaKodesh, either 23 or 24. And when they found the Dead Sea Scrolls many years ago, they only found 23. Megillas Esther was missing. So they're not sure whether that means that in that community, they held that Megillas Esther is not part of Tanakh. Tanakh only had 23 Svarim. Or it was a lending library, somebody borrowed the Megillas Esther and they never gave it back. It's unclear why when they found all the Dead Sea Scrolls, Megillas Esther was missing. So here, there were Tanoim who held that there are only 22 Kisvei HaKodesh. They said Yecheskel doesn't belong, and Megillas Rus doesn't belong. So Yecheskel was a problem, because the Pesukim in Yecheskel contradict the Karbonis that he describes, contradict the Karbonis that appear in Chumash. So what is Yecheskel telling us? That the laws are going to change, Lasi Labai. They're going to bring different Karbonis. The Rambam considers that one of the 13 Ikori Hamunah, that the laws of the Torah never change. Zos HaTorah Lasi Mochlefes. God himself is not going to change the laws of the Torah. So the Gemara has an expression, when they decided to incorporate Sefer Yecheskel into the Kisvei HaKodesh, they had a tradition that was written Baruch HaKodesh. So it must make some sense of what does the Parsha mean. So the Gemara has such an expression, Eliyahu Asid Lefarish Parsha Zu. Eliyahu Navi will have to come, the Mos HaMashiach, they have to explain what's going on. How do you resolve the contradiction between the Korbanos as described in Sefer Yecheskel and the Karbonis as described in the Chumash. But that's what he says. This whole parsha of the Minyan HaMitzvahs, he says the whole thing is so vague, I don't really understand what it's all about. He hopes Eliyahu Asid LaParish Parshazu. Eliyahu Navi should come and he should explain everything. So now the Ramban goes again into the details. He says, I deleted 26 Lavim from the Minyan Rambam. I deleted 26. And then I explained already how I replaced them with a whole bunch of other mitzvahs. And now I added on another 17. So 17 with what I mentioned earlier adds up to 26. But I'm not sure about this one. I'm not sure about that one. I'm not sure about the other one. He keeps on writing which ones he's not so sure. So he says the whole thing. He's not so sure about the whole story over here. What belongs and what doesn't belong. Then he says, V'yesh l'inyan mitzvah mistapik. But I have another mitzvah I'm not too sure. He has a lot of mitzvahs he's not too sure. He says, there is a din, when the Jewish government goes to war, if there is an Urim V'tumim available, the Kohen Gadol used to wear Shemayna B'gadim. His uniform consists of 8 B'gadim. So one of the Shemayna B'gadim was the Choshen, with the Choshen HaMishpat on it. The Eifod with the Choshen HaMishpat on it. So, and it had the Urim V'Tumim on it. So Bizman Baisheni, the Pasuk says, the Urim V'Tumim never answered anything. Because you have to have, the Kohen Gadol has to have Ruach HaKodesh to be able to get answers from the Urim Tumim. The letters would light up and spell out the answers. But Lossi Lavoi, we assume the Urim Tumim will function. So he says one. He says he thinks one of the mitzvahs should be that when I have a shaila whether I should marry this girl, I can't go to the Kohen Gadol, ask him, ask the Urim Tumim. On private questions, the Urim Tumim does that. I have a question, should I invest in this corporation or that corporation? That's a private question. You're not supposed to ask the Urim Tumim, and it's not going to answer. But if you have questions on the Negev to Klal Yisrael, should we go to war? Should we attack the enemy from the right or from the left? So those are things you do ask the Urim Tumim. So he says he thinks maybe that should count as another mitzvah sesei. Whenever the melech or the shofet, see the Ramban writes that a few times, whenever you have a din on melech, so the Ramban says, no, din on melech. It's a din on the Jewish government, labdavke melech. We don't have a melech in Eretz Yisrael, we have a Jewish government. It's clear that it's a Jewish government. The constitution of Eretz Yisrael says that it's a Jewish government for the Jewish people. So the Ramban writes like that in Chumash and a few places here. He says, whenever the one in charge of the government, the melech or the shofet, or Misha Ha'am Bishusa, whoever, the general, the army, if they have a suffix whether they should go to Mochemes Mitzvah or Mochemes Rishus, the din is that you cannot wage a Mochemes Rishus without authorization from the Bezna HaGadol and from the Urim Tumim. So you don't have an Urim Tumim, or you don't have a Sanhedrin, there's no Mochemes Rishus. But even Mochemes Mitzvah, where you don't need Urim Tumim, you don't need Sanhedrin, the Melech, you know, he knows that this is a Mochemes Mitzvah, he goes forward. But still, if Urim Tumim is available, he should certainly consult them to ask, should I attack today or tomorrow? Should I go to the east or to the west? How should I do it? And he should follow whatever the answers are. So he says he thinks that this should count as one of the mitzvahs I say, mitzvah li yashol bu Urim Tumim v'alpiyam yisnaig b'inyan. He should follow accordingly. Moshe Feinstein has a difficult tshuva. In one of the later volumes of tshuvas, Moshe has somebody asked him that the Lubavitch have a magazine that's printed in Eretz Yisrael from Kfar Chabad, I think, and they printed the name of Moshe Feinstein that you're not allowed to give land for peace. So somebody asked him, Moshe Feinstein, is that true? What they quoted in your name. So he says, not true. He says, I never formulated an opinion because nobody ever asked me. He writes, I sit and I learn, and when people ask me a shaila, I work on it and I come up with an answer. If nobody asks me a shaila, I don't think about the topic. So he says, the Israeli government didn't ask me about land for peace. I never formulated any opinion one way or the other. So then when he writes that he never formulated an opinion, he says, but he doesn't think the Israeli government has a right to go to war now, even a Mochemes Mitzvah, for self-defense. That's a Mochemes Mitzvah. He thinks that if someone's attacking me in New York, I have a right to fight back. That's a din of Rodef. But it's not a din of Mochemes. He says, in order to have a din of Mochemes Mitzvah, not stam a din of Rodef, you have a right to kill Rodef, in order they should have the status of Mochemes Mitzvah, you have to have authorization from the Urim Tumim. He thinks it's even miyakeh for Mochemes Mitzvah. But that's very difficult, by Rav Moshe. And he quotes this Ramban. This Ramban doesn't say that. This Ramban says a different thing. The Mishnah says explicitly, you need authorization from the Sanhedrin, from the Urim Tumim, to wage Mochemes Rishus. To wage Mochemes Mitzvah, you don't need authorization from either. But the Ramban says, if you have Urim Tumim available, so then there's a mitzvah to consult the Urim Tumim to ask, should I go to war today? Should I go tomorrow? Will I win? Will I lose? There's no mitzvah to fight a losing battle. If you're going to lose the war, so don't go to Mochemes Mitzvah. So the Ramban says, if you have Urim Tumim available, it's a mitzvah to ask. But he doesn't say, if you don't have Urim Tumim today, there is no Urim Tumim available. So Rav Moshe says, it's ma'akev, so you can't go to Mochemes Mitzvah. That's very difficult, what Rav Moshe says. The Pashto says it doesn't say that at all in the Ramban. So he says everything is unclear. Ad yavai the yoret tzedek lan, until Mashiach will come, till Aliyah Navi will come, Mashiach will come. Everything is very unclear over here. And then he keeps on going. He starts reviewing again all the things. He's not sure mitzvah sesei, mitzvah lo sesei. He's not sure about the whole count. The whole topic was very unclear. The whole topic of minyan mitzvahs is very unclear. See, in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, you gain a lot of insights. You read the Rambam, if you read a little section, a couple of paragraphs, everything is very sharp, everything is very clear. When you take the whole picture together, you really don't understand. Why did they count this? Why did they count that? Why? If you take one little section, so he explains, like the Rambam explains, to bring Karbanos HaMasafim all the 7 days of Pesach is one mitzvah. To bring Musafim 7 days of Sukkot is one mitzvah, including Hoshana Rabbah. And then to bring Musafim on Shmini Atzeres is a separate mitzvah, because Shmini Atzeres regel b'fnei atzmo. So that's very nice. That's very sharp, you understand. But then when you take the whole picture of all the Sefer HaMitzvahs, a lot of the things are very unclear. Why didn't he count that? Why didn't he count this? Each little section, that's what the Ramban says. Everything is so unclear. How are you supposed to deal with this? The Vilna Gaon had a totally different shita. But we don't understand the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon had a brother whose name is Avraham. He had a son whose name is Avraham also. But his brother wrote a sefer, his brother, big Tam Chacham, his brother wrote a sefer that's called Mailas HaTorah, a thin sefer, about the importance of learning Torah. And he quotes every Maimah Chazal in existence, every pasuk in Tanakh that speaks about the significance of learning Torah, and the schar for learning Torah, and the importance of learning Torah, everything. So every so often, every 10 pages, it's a small little sefer, every 10 pages he quotes his brother, the Vilna Gaon, as having made some comment. So he quotes, my brother, the Vilna Gaon, made a comment. He doesn't think that the whole system of Taryag Mitzvahs, the way the Rishonim counted it, is correct at all. He says there are millions of mitzvahs. How did you chisel everything down to 613? So the Vilna Gaon lived at the same time as Dalton. Dalton was the non-Jew who developed the atomic theory of matter. That there are a certain number of atoms. How many atoms are there? There used to be 103 atoms. Now they have another 10 or so. 110, 115, something like that. I don't know how many atoms there are. So there's oxygen and nitrogen and whatever, all the different atoms, and carbon. So H2O is what? Is water. H2O is water. And whatever, carbon dioxide, carbon monoxide, different things. So we have the different atoms, and then you would combine them together in different proportions, so you get different things. So wood is really a combination of so many atoms like this. And the metal is a combination of other atoms. And cloth is this. And paper is this. And plastic is that. A different combination of atoms. So basically, all together, there are 115 atoms, whatever it is. And if you combine them in different ways, so you can come up with different things. So the Vilna Gaon developed the same time as Dalton developed the theory, the atomic theory of matter. So he thought there were 613 inyonim, concepts in mitzvahs. So you'll have one mitzvah, will have 15 concepts. Another mitzvah will have 10 concepts. There'll be a little overlap, like you have oxygen and many different things. But all the things are so different because it's a different proportion of oxygen, and you have different atoms mixed in. So the Vilna Gaon thought there must be 613 inyonim, and every mitzvah has a certain number of atoms, like the atomic theory of mitzvahs. Every mitzvah has a certain number of inyonim to it, and there's a little overlap. And because this mitzvah has a combination of these inyonim, those inyonim, so it comes out this kind of a mitzvah. He thinks that there are 613 inyonim. Atomic theory of mitzvah. So when he was younger and he developed this theory, so he said, he thinks that's the pshat, but he can't figure out which are the 613 inyonim. Then when he was an old man, before he died, so we don't know what they are, but his children quoted his name, Viziknuso, he did work it out. And he decided that he does know which are the 613. So we don't understand. He said, this is the Rabbein Avram, the brother of the Groa, writes in the Mailas HaTorah, this is in the disagreement with all the Rishonim. The Bahag and the Rav Sadigon and the Rambam and the Ramban and every Sefer Achina, nobody agrees with this. The Smag, everybody assumes you're counting 248 mitzvahs asay. That's the Medrash. There are Ramach mitzvahs asay, 248, and Shin Samachay, 365 lois asay. According to the Vilna Gaon, you're not counting mitzvahs asay, mitzvahs lois asay. You're counting the ideas behind the mitzvah. You're counting in yonim. So what does it mean? The Ramach Esen and Shasal Avin, that adds up to 613. See, they don't explain it. According to the Vilna Gaon, they don't explain what it is. But the whole topic is very, very problematic. It's a good limud. We should really spend more time learning the Sefer HaMitzvahs L'Rama. We should really start from the beginning. Many years ago, I spent one summer learning the Shirashim. And then we spent quite a few summers learning the mitzvah sesi and the mitzvah loy sesi. And the Ramban, there's a lot to learn here. They quote so many Gemaras, and leaving out, but they're fighting about the details. But they quote so much, it gives you a broader picture of Kola Torah Kula. You get when you look at the minyan mitzvahs. The Rambam says the mitzvah to learn Torah is a mitzvah to know all of the 613 mitzvahs and all of their details. People in our generation have a mistaken understanding. They think the learning Torah means to know how to ask kashas and to know how to answer Rabbi Kivega's kashas. That's one aspect of learning Torah. But the main aspect of learning Torah, you should learn osam. You should learn all of the 613 mitzvahs. That's why the Rambam introduces the Mishnah Torah. The Arach HaZokah starts off with the Sefer HaMitzvahs. And then every time he gives you a section, so he says, the beginning of the section, Hilchos Yisrei HaTorah, he's going to have a list of 10 mitzvahs here. He's going to explain what they are. Then the next section, Hilchos Deis, he tells you how many mitzvahs he's going to discuss. He has 11 mitzvahs. He's going to discuss 11 mitzvahs in Hilchos Deis. Every section he tells you how many mitzvahs they're going to be. Then by the time you get to the end of the whole Rambam, he says, now you've covered the whole gamut of all the 613 mitzvahs. That's what learning Torah is all about, to know which are the 613 mitzvahs and all the details, when they apply, when they don't apply, what are the details. It's fundamental to know the Sefer HaMitzvahs. Okay? Have a good Shabbos, everybody. This Motzoi Shabbos, I'm going back to America.
Wow.
So I won't be seeing you too much longer. Amen. Thank you. How about Tzlocha? Each one in his own respective community.
Thank you very much.